Welcome, everyone. Good morning. It's good to see you all. Welcome to St. Andrew's here. We trust you are well and in keeping safe and encouraged. A special welcome to our young people. Good to see you enjoying your school holidays. I do hope so, and sleeping in. A little later in the service, they're going to go out to kids' church and then join us back in church later on for the last song and morning tea together. For those of you who are listening in or visiting us for the first time this morning, my name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the senior minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. Welcome. We at Abbotsford Anglican, we're just a group of local people, aren't we? Of all ages, all backgrounds, who have come to find meaning and purpose for living life God's way, according to the word, the Bible. And so we invite you and any visiting us to know God with us. Involved in the service this morning will be Diane, who will be leading most of the service. Max will read the Bible to us. Tina will lead us in prayer. And our musos today are Sam on the keyboard, Rosemary, Youngland, Linda and David are our song leaders this morning. We continue our Bible teaching through the book of Luke and Acts. And today we're hearing of the ministry of Jesus continuing through the Acts of the Apostles. And the title for this particular sermon, as we look at the story of Ananias and Sapphira from chapter 4, is Pretending to be Christian. Our mission focus for this month is on the work of the special religious education in our schools. Even though it's school holidays, we'll be praying through July for school scripture in our schools and for Anglican school chaplains. Well, the sentence of scripture for this morning comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. And we read, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, this time with you and your people is always, always special. Take our anxious thoughts and let us know your peace, your presence and your power. May we listen to your word with expectation, engage in what we pray and say, and worship you with one heart and mind through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thanks, Rosemary. Thanks, T.
Let's stand now and sing together, All Creatures of Our God and King.
With golden things the Creator bless, and worship Him in lowliness. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you go with our children now to Kids Church and with those who lead and teach. We thank you for the opportunity for them to learn about you and grow in their knowledge and love of you and each other. Amen. Well, turn to the person next to you and just say, the Lord be with you and also with you. Wonderful. Please, if you're able to stay for morning tea after the service and continue the fellowship, please do so. Take a seat. And I'll invite Diane up now to lead us through our service together this morning.
Let's open thanking God for His mercies to us. Together, gracious God, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given to us, for life and health and safety, for power to work, leisure to rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour, Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to hear from the reading for today. Max will come up shortly, but I'll just pray for him before we start that. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Open our hearts to receive your word, that we may know you better and be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Max, would you like to come up and share it with us, please?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Max, and I hope that Trevor's preaching will end better than my reading. Okay, today's reading is Act 4, 32, 5, 11. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerful at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what has happened. Then some young man came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "this is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the man who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young man came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, once again, good morning, everyone, and welcome to church, especially those who are listening in to our service this morning as well. The sentence of scripture that you may remember as we read out at the beginning of church this morning came from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. And I'm just going to read that out to you again. It's on the front of your bulletins, but I'm going to read it out to you again. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: "The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness." I want you to imagine this story with me and the significance of its meaning. A woman who was looking for a pet, and so she thought the best place to go was to the obvious, a pet shop. Upon entering her local pet shop, the woman was amazed at the number of creatures the shop had acquired. But as she moved around the store, there was one creature that grabbed the woman's attention: a parrot calling out from the corner of its cage. "Pick me! Pick me!" said the parrot. Curious, the woman asked the owner, "What will it cost me to buy the parrot?" The owner told her the price, but warned her, "I know this parrot. He is very clever. He is not at all times what he seems, and he can be quite rude. You will need to be very firm with it." Well, the woman understood, bought the parrot, and took it home. Well, no sooner was the parrot home when it began to swear. The language that came out of the parrot's mouth was appalling. The woman remembered the words of the owner: "I know this parrot. He is very clever and he can be quite rude. You will need to be very firm with it." So the woman took hold of the parrot, took it into the kitchen, opened the door of the fridge, and placed the parrot in the freezer. With muffled noises from behind the door, the parrot ranted and raged and continued to swear until after a few minutes, there was silence. The woman had no intention of killing the bird, opened the freezer, and not to her surprise, the bird was very much alive. And with a great fear and respect, the parrot said in the most proper of English, "Dear lady, please forgive me. It was terribly, terribly wrong of me to speak as such. I shall never swear again." And the woman nodded. "May I ask," said the parrot, looking to either side in the freezer, "whatever did the chickens do?" Well, turn with me, will you, to our Bible reading this morning that Max read to us. And thanks, Max. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 and following. I gather the passage has raised a number of questions in your minds. Is this about communism? Is this about tithing? How could God allow these two to die? It doesn't seem a big crime. How could God be so rough? How could God be so firm? Well, let's see what we are to take away remembering with us this morning. Firstly, situation awareness. You can tell I've been away with the army this past week, can't you? What has led up to, how present, and what's forthcoming? Well, in the previous chapter of chapter 4, they ended with the church praying, remember? They didn't look there back at verse 29 there, that they prayed that God would enable his servants, the apostles, to speak God's word with great boldness, to stretch out his hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And we continue, if you look there at verse 31, God answered that prayer. And they prayed, and as they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And now we read in verse 33, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus despite opposition with great power. Well, the passage before you this morning can be divided into three sections, verses 32 to 34, verses 35 to 37, and then chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. In verses 32 to 34, we see an introduction. We see it's almost a summary of what the church is like at this moment. Let me read it to you again. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. All the believers were one in heart and mind. Now, that told me right from the very beginning, to start with, that the word all there means that not all were believers. For not all were one in heart and mind, and not all were claiming that their possessions were their own, nor did they share everything that they had. So in the midst of the church, we're already beginning to see that there are some who are pretending to be Christian. For if they were all believers, they would all here be one in mind and heart, and no one claiming that their possessions was their own. And so I take it that amongst the church here, we have a situation where we are beginning to see that the church is not perfect, but God is, and his word is. So that's the first little section there to start with. The second little one is verse 33. The second section there is we're told that the apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of the Lord with great power. And so the second thing we're sort of going to get out of this little passage here is that we're being told as an introduction, as a situation awareness, that the apostles have been given great authority and great power. And we're going to be questioning, well, why do they have this authority? Why do they have this power? And how is this power being displayed? And the third thing is here, God's grace was so powerful, God's enabling amongst the believers, all of them, remember back to all the believers who are one in mind and heart, the church, that there were no needy persons among them. What a wonderful situation that is, isn't it? And here we have a picture of the ideal church, which will one day be. We will be in a place one day called heaven where all our need will be perfectly met. But here is the image or the mirror here on earth of what heaven is to be like, of everyone's needs being met. And we're not just talking about financial need here. We're talking about one's overwhelming need, one's need for significance, one's need for security, one's answers to life and purpose. Who am I? Where do I find my meaning, my purpose? And we all have a part to play in encouraging one another here. And so God's grace, God's enabling in the church was so powerful at work in them all that there were no needy person among them. And how was this met? Well, one practical way in which this was shown from time to time, voluntarily, not all the time, but from time to time when it was needed, those who owned land or houses sold them. And they brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone, not everyone, but to anyone who had need in this time. And so that's the very first little part. We're introduced to the situation here, that the church, all the believers, were one in heart and mind. The apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord with great power. And God's grace, God's enabling, was so powerfully at work amongst them as they did this that no person among them was in need. What a wonderful picture. Do you love coming to church? Do you love meeting with your people? We were sharing this morning when we were praying together. It's just wonderful to be in a place where we all are of one mind and one heart and one soul, one spirit. Again, I value my opportunity. For those of you who don't know, might be listening in, I also work in defence as a chaplain. And for the last week, I've been away with over 250-odd people, mostly young people, about 180 of them and about 50 adults. And some are Christians, but most are not. And to live in that environment, as you do every day, all right, is such a privilege for me to understand in some small way what you go through, and then being a Christian in the world, and then to come back and be with the family of God's people with one mind and one heart and one spirit is just wonderful to be. Mind you, it was lovely and very, very encouraging that I had two cadets, two lovely 14-year-old girls come up to me at one point. You must imagine, because you remember what the weather was last week? And it was the first week of school holidays, and a number of these young people had chosen to go away with the army cadets to promotion courses, and some of them was their very first time face to face, from COVID, in an environment together, and it was like being in school 24/7 in the pouring rain, having lectures for the first 5 days over the weekend. So I had a lot of people coming to me and talking with me about wishing that they were going home and could they continue, and all their little problems at home that they were having. So sad, some of them. But two of them came up to me and said, "Padre, I really come out here, there's nothing really wrong, but my dad and told me that you..." Oh man, it's hard. "That it's hard being a Christian in the world. It's hard being a padre. Hard being. I just wanted to tell you that I'm a Christian. And I'm really glad you're here." Oh, isn't that just awesome? You know, and you just don't realise how wonderful it is, the encouragement of God's people. And these are two 14-year-old little girls, you know, coming up. Mind you, I said, "Well, we better stay here talking for 15 minutes, otherwise your SI will be a bit wondering why you've gone back so quickly." And so we talked. They're all one in mind, and no one claimed that their position. So we've got the first little situation, this oneness in mind together. And I think, and I take it what Luke's trying to remind us as readers here at the start is what a privilege it is to be a Christian, and what a privilege it is to belong to God's family, and to know that God grants us the grace to so powerfully work amongst us that no needy person amongst us can be in need. And we're not just talking about money here or gifts. It's talking about all sorts of things here in terms of our need. And so two stories are given. One of a man called Joseph, or from a Levite from Cyprus. And this is verses 36 through to the end of the chapter. And it's no mistake, or there's a deliberate reason why Luke sort of puts his little nickname in there, Son of Encouragement, because he is an encouragement. And that's why he wanted the people to know that he such is this, meeting the needs of others, is such an encouragement. And so we have the first little story, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means a son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. And so we've given this simple example of one who was given much, could share with others, time to time, from time to time, and he chose to voluntarily do that. And so verses 36 to 37 is basically, here is an example. Here is an example of encouragement, a way of doing this, of being one in mind. The second is, however, verses 1 to 11 of chapter 5, sadly, not a good example. And I take it that Ananias and Sapphira, I think were pretending to be Christian, all right? And I think they hadn't really yet sort of taken on board the value of being part of God's family and all of this, and the importance of how, of being made right with God, and how everything belonged to God, and all their things, and to share and to encourage. And sadly, we see here this situation here of firstly Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, they also sold a piece of property, which they were in the right to do, but they chose, in coercion with one another, full knowledge, to keep back part of the money, to kind of be half-hearted, on the fence with regards to their meeting the needs and being other person-centred, and kept part of it. And they brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. And amazingly, we don't know how or why, but again, these were apostles continuing the ministry of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus was working through them. Ananias, Peter is able to know what Ananias's mind is in this matter. And he says, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit, told God you'll do this and yet haven't done it, and have kept for yourself some of the money you've received from the land? Didn't it belong to you when it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? In other words, you had the choice what to do with it, and you chose to actually say to us, and that's what we're saying to it, saying to them, to the church, that you're going to sell this, but then hold it back. What made you think of doing such a thing? And then Peter describes and says to Ananias exactly what it is that he's done. He's actually lied to God. And when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. Now, some commentators say, oh, it's just the shock of fear of what they had been done. They'd done. Heart attack, collapsed. You know, and this happens, right? Some commentators think that that's just it, right? But there's more than that, I take it. It's more than just being thrown in the freezer here. A great fear, you know, he has died. And the young men came forward, wrapped his body and carried him out and buried him. And a great fear had seized all who heard what had happened. And then after 3 hours later, we don't know why, we're not told why his wife doesn't know that her husband has died, nor do we know why the apostles and the church has not tried to find the wife and told them that their husband has died, but she comes in and she's not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price that Ananias got with the land? Yes, she said, this is the price. Again, lying to God, lying to the apostles, knowing that she had made with him a promise to God at this point. How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. And at that moment, she too fell down at his feet and died. Again, the commentators say this could be that she just had such overwhelmed with fear of what she had done that she collapsed of a heart attack or two and dies. And the young men come in, find her dead, carry her out, buried her beside her husband. But great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. And I think because those two verses are repeated, verse 6 and verse 11, great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events is what's meant for us to go away remembering. God is at work. And God is real. And God is now establishing his church through the proclamation of the gospel. He has raised his son Jesus from the dead. He has poured out his spirit upon these apostles whom he has chosen. He has now enabled them with the authority to continue his ministry, Jesus' ministry, that people then will hear the words of the apostles as God speaking to them and be certain of the things that they have been taught by them. To not take God's word lightly, or more importantly, and again equally, not to take God lightly. I personally am glad that this doesn't happen today, but could well. And I think each one of us, if we're honest with ourselves, I hope have been thrown in the freezer and are feeling great fear at this moment, or awe and respect of God, for whom we can so easily take for granted of what, how great and powerful and real he is, working in and through his people. So, what are we to take away from God's word this morning? I take it three things, and here they are in summary. The first is, and the most obvious is, it's dangerous to pretend to be Christian. God knows those who are his. We cannot deceive God. There will be a day of judgment. We cannot lie to God and think we can get away with it. If we're pretending to be Christian, our faith is a respectable thing on the side, but not the real deal. It won't go well with us in the long run, let alone in the present. Repent, choose a side, get off the fence, be all for God or not at all. The words of the risen Jesus to the church in Laodicea are a helpful warning. Revelation chapter 3. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth, I do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich and wear white clothes, so you can cover your shameful nakedness and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. The first thing, it's dangerous to pretend to be Christian. Repent. The second thing we'll take away with us this morning, that we're meant to take the ministry and the words of the apostles seriously. Jesus is continuing his ministry through them by his Holy Spirit. We can be certain of the things that we have been taught by them as God speaking through them to us, now written for us in God's word, the Bible. Their authority comes with God's authority. We were reminded twice in the passage, great fear seized all who heard what had happened, verse 5. Great fear, awe, respect seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. The second thing we're to take away with us is that we are meant to take the ministry of the words of the apostles seriously. And thirdly, it's wonderful, so wonderful to be one in heart and mind as God's people, the church. What a blessing it is. Enjoy it. To experience God's grace, to experience God's encouragement, to experience God's counsel through our willingness to share what God has given us to meet the needs of each other is wonderful. It's blessed. Let us not take it for granted, but enjoy it. Be it our wealth, be it our gifts, be it our abilities, be it our time, be it our efforts, be it our words. God's grace was so powerful at work in these early church, in all that there was no needy person amongst them. Isn't it wonderful when we can say to those around about us, all of our needs are met in Christ, and God uses and meets those needs through my sisters and brothers as well. There you have it. An unusual passage, one that may have got you many thinking, of which I hope in your small groups during the week or in your time of reflection can think more deeply on. But it's dangerous to pretend to be Christian. We're meant to take the ministry of the words of the apostles seriously, and it's wonderful to be one in heart and mind as God's people, the church. What a blessing and joy. May God's grace, God's encouragement, God's counsel, through all that he has given us, be so powerfully at work in us here at Abbotsford Anglican, that there be no needy person amongst us, that we find all that we met in Christ and in one another. Lord, make us aware and grant us such grace and willingness. Amen.
Thanks, Trevor. We're going to join together and say the words of Psalm 34, this extract, verses 8 to 14. So join me together. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Very appropriate. Thank you. We've got our next song, and it's called All I Am. And of course, as usual, that ties in very nicely with what we've been hearing.
Full allegiance, therefore now.
the offerings here are humble, which your children bring to you, and the best and sweetest praises are but rendered falteringly. So I come to you, Lord Jesus, laying in surrender meet all I am and have and hope for, all I love at your dear feet. As our song shall be triumphant, when your glory we will see. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, now and through eternity. So we come to you, Lord Jesus, laying in surrender meet all we are and have and hope for, all we love at your dear feet.
Please sit. Although we are the people of God, Scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that the Lord Jesus died for us and intercedes for us with the Father. Let us draw near to God, who freely forgives through his infinite goodness and mercy, and pray to him with sincerity and confidence. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And Tina will continue leading us in prayer.
Give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. Praise God. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to God because of his grace given in Christ Jesus. His love endures forever. O sovereign and almighty God, this is the world you created. You are still God over all. Despite powers and authorities flexing their muscles, seeking more power for whatever reason. Lord, we pray for our world full of suffering, distress, famine, flood, earthquakes, landslides, and war. So much conflict, so much distress, O God. We bring the people before you because, Lord, you are the hope in Jesus by your wonderful grace. If it wasn't for Jesus, there would be no hope. As the world struggles and writhes in pain, we pray that those who seek to dominate others would be stayed. We especially think of those suffering in Ukraine. Lord, the news is fading away. It's not as dominant, but the pain and the strife still continues. We pray, O God, for this nation who's been so persistent in staying the hand that comes against them, this overwhelming conflict and fight, and all they want to do is have peace in their land. We ask, Lord, that you pray, stay the hand of evil. Give strength and perseverance as they grow tired, that they may be able to hold their country against this persecutor, this nation. And in particular, that Putin would give up or be stopped. We are not asking for death for him, but we only ask for mercy for those in the Ukraine. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Lord God Almighty, we ask for wisdom and authorities in our land, that there would be justice, peace, and equality for all, understanding and respect. And we particularly ask for Anthony Albanese and our Premier, Dom Perrottet, and his cabinet, and the opposition leader, Chris Minns, that they may seek the common good for all, truth and justice in their work, in their lives, so that this land and our state in particular would have more cohesion, that their understanding of you may be great, that they would try and rule according to your will, not their own, or seek their own good rather than the people. The difficulties in our land here are great due to the COVID, the economy, and also for flood and things that happen. We really need your help, O God, for you are the help and strength that people need. We ask that people may turn to you, O Lord, amidst their difficult circumstances. We ask that decisions made to improve the situations of those will be wise and discerning. It's complicated. Everybody has an agenda. But you know the best way, because you are God. And their distress may be addressed with a good outcome for the towns and a more better and hopeful future. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We also think, O God, of your church worldwide, and in here, our country, Australia. We pray for love and faith among your church, that the church would be united in love and in your word, desiring your glory and honour. May prayer and devotion to you be like air to our lungs. We ask that your truth may be the utmost importance, aligning to your word. May your church draw people to Jesus Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let us not forget the persecuted for their faith. We pray for help for them. We pray for their needs. We pray for comfort. We pray that they can remain firm in their faith. We pray that their testimony and their faith may draw their persecutors to faith in Jesus Christ. That your Spirit indeed will work in this situation to bring light and love and honor and glory to you. Please sustain them and comfort them, our God. In Jesus' name, amen. We particularly pray for the floods. It's heavy on people's hearts at the moment and is taking first preference in the news. Almighty God, look with mercy on those in distress in the floods. Help the authorities and volunteers to be guided in aid and supply for relief. We pray for the victims might find comfort and hope and in their distress for provision. But above all, we ask that they may turn their eyes to you, O God, so they will find hope and strength in you because of Jesus. We pray for the churches in that area, Lord, that the people there may be a light to others, that this may soften the hearts of those who do not know you, so that, Lord, they may say to themselves, where do they get their strength from? Where do they get their loving hearts amidst their own difficulties? And this would bring glory and honour to you and many to Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you, Sovereign God, for your word and the hope in Jesus Christ, in your great mercy and love. And we ask that the ministry through our schools will sow the seeds of the gospel into the hearts of all children to know the truth, so that they can grow to be followers of Jesus. And in particular, we pray this morning for the Anglican chaplains in schools, for Trevor and Fiona. They will continue to have this opportunity in our schools in New South Wales, in sharing God's word as they teach and spend time each week. We pray for those relationships between the children and chaplains and Trevor and Fiona would be one of harmony and love, that the children can see the sincerity of faith and know that people's faith make a difference. It would draw them to Christ, so that they too may grow each day in Jesus. Thank you that you can sow these seeds through your word and your teaching. Thank you that one day there will be young people who will know the love of Christ. And we pray that our schools in our state will continue to be open to accept and welcome this important work, for it is your work, O God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you, O God, for our church here and our community. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings of this life. And we thank you for your teaching here. We pray for those who are sick amongst us, who are struggling, who are trying to recover from illness or just walk in their daily life with difficulties and weakness and pain. And we ask for your healing and strength and comfort and awareness of you walking with them. And we particularly think of people here, such as Lynn Clark and Graham, Brian Cave, Max Schweitzer, Lillian Schweitzer. We think of Jean Steele, Jennifer. We think of Barb and Tony. We think of anyone else close to us, our loved ones who are struggling. We pray, O Lord, for your healing, strength and comfort and an awareness of you walking each day with them, that this will give them an encouragement to continue. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord our God, we thank you that we can walk with you each day. We thank you that you've never leave us or forsake us. We thank you, O God and Jesus, for your Holy Spirit, for the way in which you work and are with us each and every day. We give you praise and thanks for what you have done. We praise and thank you that you still rule, that you are the one that counts. We thank you, O God, that you love us so much. We thank you for your grace, which is so beautiful and loving, for your loving kindness and compassion. We ask here that at St. Andrew's we may walk in obedience, love and kindness and keep growing in Christ, step by step with him each and every day. Help us to walk in this world and use us to draw others to the knowledge of Jesus, our Saviour and our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please join with me in a set prayer for today. Let us pray. Father, guide and protector of your people, grant us an unfailing respect for your name and keep us always in your love. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks, Tina. Just a few announcements. In your bulletin you received, you'd see a number of announcements that are there. And just briefly and quickly, we have one that's coming up here now. Thank you.
Good morning. It's lovely to see you on such a wet morning. I'd like to draw your attention to the upcoming women's conference called One Love. It's put on by the Katoomba Christian Convention, and every year we've had a group of women either attend in person or online. And this year they're again presenting a hybrid conference where you can attend in person at the town hall or we can live stream. So we will be having a group here at the church live stream, but if you'd like to go into town, you're more than welcome to. We've got a piece of paper up the back for you to put your name down to let us know which you might be interested in doing. I really want you to know this week because their early bird rate finishes next week. So if you're thinking of going, it's $95 online and $95 to go in person. But after the end of this week, it will be more expensive to go and attend in person. The online rate doesn't change, but to attend in person will increase to $115. And then if you're a late booking, it'll be $125. So it's good value to be early or to be online if you don't want to go into town. It's a great conference. Nancy Guthrie is coming out from America as their speaker. She's spoken before and she's excellent. And their topic, as you can see, is called Running on Empty. So some of us might be feeling that way, and it can be a great way to be recharged and re-challenged by the Word of God. So I'd really commend that conference to you. And if you'd like some help with registering, let me know, or have any other questions, please talk to me.
Next Saturday, there's a men's dinner. Men, if you wish to come and have dinner with me, in the foyer up here, we're going to listen to Shine speak, please put your name on the list at the back of the church. That's next Saturday afternoon or evening, 5 p.m. And there's a cost for that of $10 because it'll be catered for it. Again, as we have morning tea together, continue the fellowship together and keeping safe. It just poured down with rain outside a moment ago. It's dry now. Well, it's not raining outside. But it, if you can make your way around and keep the space, just that's always helpful to remember. Thank you again for giving towards ministry in this place and beyond. Thank you for thinking about supporting scripture in our local schools and also Anglicare Chaplaincy. So that's a little envelope at the back of, on the side of the pews that you can take away. Today, if you would like prayers after church, Dick and Carol will be happy to be up the front here and pray with you.
I will ask you to stand as we share what we believe. Do you believe in God the Father? We believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in God the Son? We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. We're now going to have our final song, Undivided.
Single-minded, all that I say.
words just reminded us, it brought us back to the sermon today. I pray that God will give us an undivided mind, that we can love his word, hunger for his voice, and know his Spirit's sword. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the hope of God, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.